from the Diocese of Gallup, welcome to Crozier Cast. I'm Suzanne Hammonds, Director of Communications, and with me is your host, Bishop James Wall. Bishop Wall, how are you today?
I'm well, Suzanne. How are you doing?
Very good. And it is a joyful season, partly because of, well, mostly because of Easter, but also because of the sacrament we're going to talk about today, which is confirmation.
Mm-hmm.
It is confirmation season, correct? That's what you've been busy doing?
Well, it's confirmation and First Holy Communion.
Oh, it's both together.
Because remember, we do the restoration of
yeah,
the order here in
right.
our diocese. And so here in the Diocese of Gallup, as a number of dioceses, probably about 15 dioceses in the U.S., we do, in second grade, children receive Sacrament of Reconciliation for the first time. And then in third grade, they receive, within the same liturgy, Sacrament of Confirmation and First Holy Communion.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah, that's right. It's taken a little while because it used to be we kind of finished the ones that were older, and now it started with the younger ones. How has that change been, moving from older, like teens and adults?
It's gone well. You know, like everything else, COVID threw us a bit of a curveball.
Yeah.
And so we were moving in that direction, and then COVID kind of shut everything down, especially in terms of in-person instruction and things like that. So, but it's gone well. It's gone well. I think right now, I think this is the year where everybody's down to third grade.
And can we talk a little bit, maybe briefly touch on, we'll kind of swing around to why it might be a good idea to keep confirmation at the age of reason, or, you know, but let's start off with what is confirmation? I mean, and a lot of Catholics are familiar with it, but.
Sure, well, it's one of the seven sacraments,
yeah.
And it's one of the sacraments that you receive only once, like baptism. And it is one of the primary effects of the sacrament of confirmation is you're sealing and strengthening with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. These are the same gifts you receive at baptism. So those two sacraments are intimately connected with one another. And so it's a sealing and strengthening with the gift of the Holy Spirit. And it's sacramentally, it's the same Holy Spirit that we know that was poured out upon the apostles at Pentecost. And so the primary minister of the sacrament of confirmation is the bishop. Now he can choose, and we do a little of that here in our diocese. He can choose delegate it to others. During COVID, when we started coming back out of COVID, I delegated it to a lot of the priests throughout the diocese because we were still somewhat on lockdown, a lot of restrictions, especially on the reservations. But yeah, so that's what it is. It's an exciting time. I've been on the, as they call it, the chrism trail. You know, you anoint them with the sacred chrism, and I've been on the chrism trail for the last, starting in Lent, but really it's really picked up speed during the Easter season.
Now, why does the church tend to have, or a lot of times we will see or hear about confirmations happening in the Easter season? So why that specific season?
Well, that's a good question. It's not necessarily that you have to do it in that season. I think one of the reasons, just in terms of a real practical reason, is that it's the end of the academic year, which also means that it's the end of the catechetical year for a lot of the young ones, and many of them are getting ready to finish up school and start summer vacation. And when people have summer vacation, they go off for vacations and all those different things. And so I think that's in terms of a practical reason, but I think, you know, maybe in a theological reason, you know, during the season of Easter, we hear so much from the Acts of the Apostles, and really, that really did not kick into gear until Pentecost for the Acts of the Apostles. They really went out into the world and fulfilled the mission that our Lord had given them at after Pentecost. And so for me, I love it because if it's during the weekday, we can use the readings from Mass during the weekday. They don't necessarily have to be readings that are associated with the sacrament of confirmation. And because we do this within the same liturgy, we also have First Holy Communion, I generally add one of the readings associated with the Eucharist for the second reading. That's during the week. But on Sundays, we use the Mass, the readings of the week. This past weekend, it was so easy because we had Peter's big speech right after receiving the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And then we had the road to Emmaus. We had the breaking of the bread. So the church just, you know, gave me a nice slow pitch softball to hit out of the park. It was great to preach that. So it was really nice to be able to preach First Communion and Confirmation using those two readings.
And so as a sacrament, and you were talking about graces, it does confer additional graces or special graces mm-hmm. upon the recipient.
It does. It does. Yeah, it does. And, you know, when we talk about what they also do receive is that we talk about the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And there's a beautiful little prayer. So right before the candidates are to be confirmed, what they do is they renew their baptismal promises. And these are promises either they made or their parents and godparents made in their own name. So they renew their baptismal promises because those two sacraments are so intimately connected. You know, this outpouring of the Holy Spirit at baptism, us being sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit in the sacrament of confirmation. So right before that, they are asked a series of questions in terms of rejecting Satan. The response is, I do. And then we take them through the Apostles' Creed, and they get to say, I do, to each of those questions. And one of the questions that's associated with this sacrament would be, one is that, do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who today, through the sacrament of confirmation, is given to you in a special way, just as he was given to the Apostles on the day of Pentecost? And so there's that connection with Pentecost and that gift of the Holy Spirit. And and the kids are, they're pretty excited about it when they receive it. But then what we do is we pray over them, extend hands over them, and the concelebrating priests extend hands. And there's a beautiful little prayer that I pray, and this is the prayer. It said, Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who brought these, your servants, to new birth, by water and the Holy Spirit, freeing them from sin, so in reference to their baptism. Then it continues, Send upon them, O Lord, the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete. Give them the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and fortitude, the spirit of knowledge and piety. Fill them with the spirit of the Lord through Christ our Lord. So if we hear what we're asking is for the gift, the sevenfold gifts of the Holy Spirit to be poured out upon them. And just this last week, it was really neat that I had a three third graders who had just received the sacrament of confirmation come up to me in the middle of a parish party in the parish hall, and they wanted to sing a song for me. And I thought, oh boy, third graders are usually pretty bashful and shy. And they sang the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. This is how they learned, almost like the ABC Aww. Song. This is how they learned these seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. And which is great. I thought, these kids, not only do they know them, but they know what they're called to rely upon, what had been given to them, and how they're really called to live out the sacrament of confirmation that's just been given to them.
So what are the seven gifts?
I just read them. So,
you're right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, and then the final is the fear of the Lord.
Gotcha. Okay. So it goes through. Yeah. And so those are sort of reaffirmed or you get the graces to help you mm-hmm. in your life. Just like in marriage, those who enter into an authentic marriage receive the graces to get them through the marriage or the priesthood.
Yeah. So. And this helps you. One of the words I really lean heavily into, and St. Peter talked about it too, his big speech following at Pentecost, is this helps you to be a better witness. We're all called to be witnesses to our faith. And, you know, when we're baptized, we're called to be witnesses. And, you know, as you grow, you know, in size and knowledge, and it matures more and more in your life. And so it's nice that here, you know, we have eight-year-olds receiving this. So they can understand these on their level. And each and every day of their life, they'll be able to kind of grow in maturity in terms of living out those and being better witnesses to the presence of Christ in the world. And so that's, I try to really stress that to them, that it's not just simply, you know, this individual person going out in the world trying to be a witness of Christ, but it's this individual person, so boy or girl, who has been sealed and strengthened with the gift of the Holy Spirit, being witnesses to the presence of Christ in the world. And so they're not doing it on their own. So I think about Luke's gospel, all things are possible with God. We also know that, you know, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And so I think, you know, to remember those pieces of scripture, and to also be very conscious about living out that faith. One of our priests gave a little fervorino to the students. It's Father Francis, who's in Bloomfield and Blanco, and he gave us a little fervorino at the end, and he said we can't go back, right? It always has to be forward, and it reminded me of Saint Junipero Serra. His big quote was "Siempre adelante, nunca atrás." So it's always forward, never back, and that has to be the way with our faith. We always want to make sure that we're moving forward, and that direction that we're leaning is in the footsteps of Christ, which ultimately leads us to eternal life. So I think that's another thing in terms of being our witnesses. And it's a sacrament that you don't say, okay, well, I got it on that day, and that's the only day I'm going to use it. But it's one we use for the rest of our life. So we'll always have those reserves that we need to go back and rely upon in living out our faith.
Well, I know one of the things, you know, my grandparents and sort of older generations talked about a little bit was, it's going to strengthen you for some kind of potential martyrdom. Whether it's not necessarily what will be killed, but just the martyrdom of society, like you're, you know, people not necessarily agreeing with the church or liking with the church, but it strengthens you to be a witness for the faith.
Yeah, like a white martyr, yeah. Right? Yeah, and I think we're living in times where, you know, people are becoming more and more hostile toward the faith. It wasn't, not so much anymore. It's not just a matter of, you know, just disagree. You know, it's becoming more and more hostile toward the faith. And you know, I preached a little bit about this at the Easter Vigil, that you know, we look at the very foundation of Scripture. At the very beginning, God creates them in His image and likeness. He creates them male and female, and He calls them to be fruitful and multiply. Those three things, there's an all-out assault on that right now in our society, where man thinks he can create his own existence, where man believes that he can decide whether he's male or female or whatever else, and then also where man believes that he's kind of replacing God as the creator of life, and we see that with the whole culture of death. And so I think to think about our sacrament of confirmation, how it strengthens us and allows us to be better witnesses, and we might be a true martyr,
yeah,
but we also might be called to be the white martyrdom.
I remember too, my grandparents warning me, now you might get slapped. I guess that used to be that some bishops would slap the catechumens to prepare them, but they don't, you know, it's not that thing anymore. It was just like either a light tap.
Yeah,
or
I think
nothing.
People were terrified of that.
And it's kind of an old wives, you know, it's not really a thing that happened, but it was like grandparents would sort of tease you with it, you know. And I remember almost being a little disappointed. It's like, oh, I want it, you know, prove how tough I am. But
yeah, yeah. We didn't bring back the slap.
Yeah, which is probably okay now.
Yeah, I just think about it. I think without the slap, it's a little more prayerful. And that was the whole notion of being a soldier for Christ and, you know, sending you out to battle. I mean, we can still, that it's still a reality, but we can do it without receiving the slap.
Yeah.
We one of the things that you're allowed to do when you are confirmed is you're able to choose a saint's name too. And that's always a very, very exciting thing to do. I know when I was confirmed, I chose a martyr. A layman, I chose St. Thomas More, and one of the neat things about it is that St. Thomas More, the more and more I learned to him, he introduced me to one of my new heroes, which is St. John Fisher, and the two of them are so closely associated with the martyrs of, some of the first martyrs of England, because of what Henry VIII did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then bringing it back full circle, so we've talked about how we're seeing, you know, third graders becoming in our diocese receiving confirmation. So why is that an option that you decided to implement?
Well, it's what we call the restored order. Mm-hmm. And there, like I said, there were a number of dioceses that have done this. When I was a priest of Phoenix, we did it there. I was one of the people that agreed with that decision. And as the vicar, as a vicar there, I was also going out and confirming people too. But I think so what happened was, you know, the age of reception of Holy Communion used to be the age of 14. And then Pius X, who's so closely associated, Pope St. Pius X, so closely associated with the Eucharist, he understood that, you know, it's important for people to receive it at a younger age, at the age of reason, which is about 7 or 8. And so when they did that, they pulled down the age, and it kind of to use a Catholic word, kind of left the sacrament confirmation in limbo.
Yeah.
And they said, well, what's the proper age for that? And they'd say, well, anywhere from 8 to 18, which isn't very specific. And so you've kind of seen it all over the place. I know when I was going to be confirmed, my older siblings were confirmed in fifth grade. And the year before I was confirmed in Phoenix, they changed it to high school. And some people still do it in high school, some people do it in fifth grade, some people do it in junior high. But what we see we're doing is we're doing the restoration, the order, and placing it before the reception of First Holy Communion. And the reason for that, for example, if somebody's above the age of reason and non-baptized and they come into the church, like at the Easter Vigil, the sacraments that they will receive in order are sacraments of initiation. Baptism is the first one. It's the gateway to the life of grace. Then they'll be sealed and strengthened with the gift of the Holy Spirit and confirmation. So those two sacraments are intimately connected, so they're right next to each other. And then finally, Holy Communion and First Holy Communion. And those are the sacraments of initiation. So if somebody were to come into the church, that's the order that they would receive it. And for me, and I know there are a lot of dioceses that do this, but for me, it doesn't make sense to delay the reception of the sacrament of confirmation, especially because one of the primary effects is it strengthens you, allows you to be a better witness. And if you look at, especially in the age of social media and communication and smartphones and all these things, our young people are being, exposed to things that they shouldn't see at a much, much younger age. So I think the necessity of having this sacrament at a younger age allows them to be better witnesses and stand strong against some of these things.
Awesome. And for anybody who's curious, you wrote a whole beautiful letter on it, which we'll link to in our show notes, and you can find it on our website as well. So any final thoughts, Bishop Bowen?
No, well, it's exciting. We continue to celebrate the Easter season, in which we celebrate Christ's victory over sin and death, right? In the resurrection, we celebrate our redemption. And so it's just, I can't wait to get out and continue to confirm and give First Holy Communion to the people in our diocese.
Excellent. Would you leave us with a quick prayer as we close out?
Absolutely. May the Lord in his love and his mercy pour his spirit upon you and bless you and keep you. May he continue to strengthen you so that you would be a better witness to the presence of Christ in the world. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, and God bless everybody.
Thanks, Suzanne.